You're listening to the best of Talkin' Sports with Byron, an on-demand audio presentation of RedPeachSports.com and ESPN977.com.
That's right, bringing the thunder, baby. Welcome to the program, everyone. Talkin' Sports, it's just you and me, and I'm B, your host, Byron Avery, here on Talkin' Sports. Good afternoon, Mr. Tabor.
How goes
it? It goes well. It goes well. Lovely, beautiful day. Exciting baseball playoffs, championship games today. A lot to get to. It's just a good day for sports, which means any day that ends in Y. So we're going to get to some of that. We're going to start off with our lineup card, and then we'll get into what's going on. So here it is, today's starting lineup card. We're going to have, in the first hour, we're going to have Zach Green from Car King telling us what's hot on the lot. We're going to get to Cody Futrell from the New Star. He'll tell us about the baseball games that we have remaining, the teams from our area. We'll talk about what's going on with the LHSAA. And we'll talk with Sean Williams from footballspot.com. We'll talk about the Saints signing of their draftees. We'll talk about the Tech draftees that maybe have signed so far. We'll get some information from Sean on that. And we'll have our What's Up segment today. And in studio, we'll have a guest, Warren Guerrero, local businessman and baseball aficionado. But that's what's on the lineup card for today's program. A lot to get to. We do have we have a guarantee of getting at least one state baseball championship in Class C. Downsville and Claiborne Christian will face each other in the title game this afternoon. So we know we're going to get that one. We've got West Ouachita still playing. We've also got, all of a sudden, there goes my brain.
The Grove.
The Elk Grove, absolutely, in Class 1A. Thank you, Mr. Tabor. And I know I talked about it last week, but I didn't say anything to you, but congratulations to the borough for bringing home a track state championship. So that's two state championships for Simsboro this year, correct?
I'll have to verify. I know definitely
we got a basketball. Didn't we get a basketball title?
Negative. No, they got the top 28. Zawali beat us in the semis.
Zawali, that's right. I'm sorry. Well, I'm trying to give them some titles here, so I apologize.
But still, you know, playoffs and all sports.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. All right. Well, Summerfield won two of them. That's right, boys and girls. I had my S's mixed up. So, okay. Well, Simsboro did win a track championship, so much congratulations to those guys out there. Oak Grove is in the title game today. We'll get with Cody Futrell on that. Like I said, Claiborne Christian and Downsville battling for Class C. West Ouachita playing in the 4A championship game today, so we could have multiple state titles coming from the baseball diamond today to Northeast Louisiana. So we're excited about that. Our guest, like I said, Warren Guerrero in studio today. We'll get him hooked up here in just a second and have him going. Talk to him about some of this because I know he keeps up with the local baseball. So we'll have all that for you today. We'll talk again about the Saints, their draft picks. You know, last week and the last couple of weeks when we were talking about the draft, we talked about Cleveland. That's been one of my interesting stories to follow because of their trades, trading down from 2 to 8, then trading down again. I felt like they did a lot to help their team this year. We're going to talk about that. But first, we're going to go to Zach Green on the Car King Hotline. Zach, welcome.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing great. Doing great. Again, another beautiful day. Always a good day to go out and shop for cars at Car King on Louisville Avenue in Monroe. But today is just an absolutely beautiful day. We've got a lot of excitement in this area. Possibility of three state titles in baseball. coming to the area. One is a guarantee in Class C. We got Claiborne Christian facing Downsville, so this area will have a champion in that game. But tell us what's going on with you today. What's hot on the lot?
Today, man, we have a 13 Nissan Versa with 30,000 miles, still under factory warranty, 30 miles to the gallon, $7,995. Also, a 2010 Ford Ranger Sport Extended Cab, one owner, 74,000 miles, $11,995. And a 2012 Dodge Journey with a third row, $9,995. And, you know, everything else is also hot.
Absolutely. Everything on the lot's hot.
That's right.
I light a few cars every week. And I guarantee you, if you go out and touch a hood right now, it's probably really hot. So
it's on fire, yes.
Well, any rooting interest for you personally in any of these state title games?
Man, I just pull for everybody. You know, anybody in the area, I'll be happy.
Absolutely. All right, well, Zach, remind us where you are and how to find you.
Absolutely. We're on 12 Louisville Avenue. Or you can give us a call at 318-330-9285. Check us out at carkingmonroe.com.
All right, Zach, appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You guys have a great weekend.
All right, you too, buddy. All right, that was Zach Green from Car King on the Car King Hotline. You can join us on the program via the Car King Hotline or the Pulpwood Producers text line. Both of those are 888-993-7762. Get involved with us on the Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed. That's at TSports977FM. We want to hear from you. We've started our segment. We've had about 4 weeks now of What's Up or Where Are They Now segment. We want to know who you want to hear from. We've had Jamie Johnson, formerly of West Ouachita High School, who was drafted, went to junior college, then played at Oklahoma for a couple of years, and went and played, got up to AAA. We've had Tag Rome from Cedar Creek School, who played football at NLU and had a great career there. We've had Lonnie Cooper, who had a great career at Louisiana Tech, then played overseas for about 12 years. I think he said he won 10 championships overseas. We've had DeMichael Dizer, Sterlington High School, Grambling State University, and the Seattle Seahawks, who has now working back in the community. And that's one of the things, one of the themes with all of our What's Up guests. They've all had success following their high school days. They've all come back to the area or are involved, you know, in doing something that benefits the area in some way or another. So kudos to them for that. We want to hear from you on who you want to hear from, if I said that right. But anyway, like I said before, it's a beautiful day. We're going to jump to a break early. We're going to get a few of those in. Like I said, hit us up on the Car King Hotline and the Pulpwood Producers text line, 888-993-7762. Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed, at TSports977FM. And always check out the Assurance Financial Facebook page, facebook.com/TalkinSports977FM. All right, we'll be back after these messages. This hour brought to you by Jenny Eubanks Allstate Insurance in Ruston and Minden. You know, Tabor, when I was going to Tech, they had that group had a song, you know, Glamour Boy. You
okay.
Know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember that particular song, but.
Well, yeah, and if you have a chance today, look that song up and play it coming out of one of the breaks. But we always sang it, I Am a Grandma Boy, because it was real easy, and we used to convince young ladies that that's what it said. You know, we would say, you know, Grandma has a song, you know, there's a song about Grandma out on the radio, and they would listen to it, you know, and you'd kind of sing along with it to make it, and it sounded like it to them, so we were, you know, young and cruel like that, so. If you get a chance, look that up. We're going to go now to our favorite guest, and I say he's our favorite guest because he's with us every week except for the last two. Cody Futrell from the New Star. Cody, welcome back.
Hey, guys. Good to be back.
All right. I hope you had fun while you were gone, but you know, we had a different voice on the radio, also from the New Star. Brett filled in nicely for you, but we got you back now, so we're going to put you on the spot. We've got three chances for a state title in our area today. One of them's guaranteed, but tell us what to watch for in these games. We know Claiborne Christian is battling Downsville in Class C. What are we looking for there?
Yeah, that game's going to be at 1 o'clock. You know, Claiborne Christian has been here a lot. Downsville has come up and has been there recently. So, you know, it's not going to be a case of one team is really experienced, the other one kind of has the wide eyes from the big stage. Both of them have been there before. Demons. I don't know if you'd really call them the underdog, but they a lot of people didn't expect them, I think, to get back to this year and do as well as they have. I think they've kind of surprised some people. It's going to come down to what baseball usually comes down to: pitching, defense. Both teams have strong pitchers. Both teams play really good defense. Where are the errors going to be? Where's that timely hit going to come from? I tend to favor Claiborne Christian with their experience and their the way that they've played all throughout the season, but cannot account in baseball for being hot at the right time, and that's certainly what Downsville is. So that game will be at 1 o'clock today. You know, you can catch all of the championship games on the National Federation High School NFHS.com. I believe they're streaming them for $15. You can get that, and you can stream them over all of your devices.
Okay, good. I know there's going to be a lot of folks from this area down there. I've seen on Facebook where a lot of fans are going to go down just to support their friends. So that ought to be a good time down there. We've also got in 1A, we've got the Grove, as Tabor reminded me, Oak Grove playing for a title in 1A.
That's right. They'll play Central Catholic. That game will be at 4 o'clock. And that's another team. You know, last year they were there, won the championship. Oak Grove did. Back again. When the playoffs began, we thought both them and OCS would have a chance to repeat. Hated the way OCS's season ends, but the Tigers of Oak Grove, they get their chance today. And this is a very interesting matchup when you look at Central Catholic and how hot their bats have been as of late. They have three players batting 385 or better in Mitchell Lemoyne, Thomas Garber, and Samuel Grasco. Really, really good. They're going to be going up against a good Oak Grove pitching staff that is deep and very experienced. So it will be interesting to see how that kind of plays out. Jackson Wiley likely not to get the start. He's kind of been the workhorse in that bullpen for Oak Grove. Likely not to get the start today, but could he see some action at some point? Probably so. That should be a really interesting game as well.
Okay. And then we get to Class 4A, where West Ouachita has an outstanding chance to bring home the title there.
Absolutely. Boy, you know, West Ouachita's has been my top team in the area all season long. Such a deep team, so experienced, great coaching staff, great tradition. The way that they have that thing kind of set up out there is those kids play summer league ball. West Ouachita has a summer league team. They kind of play together all year long, and so even when they're not in school, they're still playing together, practicing together, and it really it really makes a difference. And they'll get their chance at the top seed today, Turley's Catholic, and they will. It should be a really, really good game. You look at this Turley's Catholic team. I know a lot of people don't know much about them, but they are loaded with talent. You look at outfielder Nicholas Weber, the LSU commitment, UL Lafayette's shortstop commitment, Hayden Cantrell, and catcher Austin Kirkpatrick. They are really, really a solid team. Have a chance to be nationally ranked, and looking for a great game today. But West Ouachita is going to counter with All Northeast Player of the Year last year, or last 2 years actually, and LSU commitment Zach Watson. As well as Austin Tidwell, whose brother's playing ULM, Cody Tidwell. Austin has really kind of come into his own. He's been a great pitcher, great hitter. He's kind of done everything for that team. They've got seniors all over the place. Luke Honeycutt, also behind the plate, Mitch Mitchell is a really, really good catcher for those guys. So, you know, West Ouachita has a great chance today at 2 o'clock to bring home a 4A state championship.
Okay. Switching gears just a little bit, I know that West Monroe High School, they did really well in the golf. They finished second in the state. So they did a good, really good job, you know, and then they've got Michael McMahon, who plays for them, who did really well. He didn't finish first. I think he had the sixth best score in the state for that division, and he also earned academic All-America. State honors.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was All-State academic composite, and he also, you know, he played so well in the tournament. He helped West Monroe get that runner-up and had their best finish, best two-day score ever in school history, as well as he was a sixth best score in the final round of anybody in the boys at any classification, which will allow him at the end of the month here to go to Marksville to the course down there and play in the what they call the Champions Tournament. So he earned that, I believe the top 10. Go to that in the state. So really, really great year for him, and a great, great season for Keith Pivoteau and his boys golf team there at West Monroe.
Yeah, we're going to have Coach Pivoteau on a little bit later to talk about that. And I like to say I want to take a little credit. You know, Michael's an outstanding young man, and he's 4.0 every year. I like to take a little credit for that because I was friends with his mom and dad in college, and they knew that they needed to raise their kid opposite of what I was. So they learned what not to do from me, and so they raised their kids to be nothing like me. So I'll take full credit for that.
Lessons can come from anywhere, so there you go.
That's right. Talk to us a little bit about the LHSAA. I'm sure you've heard about the ruckus with the rain outs and stuff like that, but has that died down any? I know it happened while you were out, but has that died down any, and have you heard anything new about? You know, I was talking with Brett last week, and he was saying he was pretty sure that when they meet, you know, that's going to be a topic that maybe they'll change that rule a little bit.
Yeah, you know, that's still a talking point. What is still really interesting, I don't know how much your listeners or you have kind of kept up on the news side, is the legislature, the House passed the bill that has gotten us really close to having a fully open enrollment throughout the districts where parents can choose to send their child to any school in the district. I don't know exactly how the LHSA will handle that. If they're, you know, it's going to come down to their rules of what they've already set in place of you can only be eligible to play athletics at the school that you enter as a ninth grader, as a freshman, if that, or you'll have to sit out a year, if that will suffice, or if this comes into full law, if that's going to put pressure on the LHSAA to do something different. It's going to be really interesting to watch because, as you know, Byron, if this comes down to a situation where somebody in Ouachita's district can go to West Monroe or vice versa, or somebody in Neville's district can go to Ouachita, it's going to be a free-for-all in athletics.
Right. Now, I know personally that right now, your freshman year, you can choose where to go if the school you want to go to will allow it. So if they keep it like that, that's fine. But if they say, you know, now, but you can also transfer, say my kid's a sophomore and decides, well, I don't want to go to, you know, Neville anymore. I want to go to West Ouachita. If they do it as a sophomore, they have to sit out a year.
Right.
And
correct.
I think that's fine. Decide where you want to go as a freshman. And people say, well, you know, so-and-so didn't, they don't know that they're that good as a freshman. Okay. Well, it shouldn't be based on athletics anyway. I mean, sure.
Right.
If you want to go play for West Monroe, go play start there as a freshman. You know,
and as the law has been written in the past, you know, failing schools, you've already been able to, if you're at a failing school, go to a better school in the district. But this would open it up to even if you're at an A or a B school, as graded by the BSEE board, that you could still change schools. So it could really open up a Pandora's box that I'm not sure. You know, unless the LHSA has a clear-cut plan, it could open up a Pandora's box that we don't ever recover from in the LHSAA.
What's your opinion on that? What's your opinion on that rule as it's written and as it stands right now? Or the legislature's part of it?
You know, I mean, I'm all for choice, but for the LHSA, I think it's a huge headache. And I like what you know, just like you said, I'm a fan of what they – personally a fan of what they have right now, where, you know, you enter as a, if you want to change schools as a freshman, you know, that's fine. And that's where the cutoff should be, because, like you said, it shouldn't be based on athletics anyway. These kids should be getting education first and making it about that and not about an athletic future.
Well, and again, in reality, it may be about athletics, you know, but
of course,
if that's
yeah.
the case, do it as a freshman.
Right, and that's what, and they're being allowed to.
Yeah. Right, you know, so if that's the case, if you want to go to what you consider the best football school, the best basketball school, the best baseball school, if you want to go there, do it as a freshman. Don't wait till you're a sophomore, junior, and all of a sudden you're blowing up and people want you here and there. If you do
right.
that, then you got to sit out, okay? So if they do it where you can go at any time, you talk about chaos. That's going to be just crazy, because it's
yeah.
already nuts, you know, every once in a while. You know, we had the issue with Cam Robinson, you know, and again, that was a big deal, and all of a sudden it wasn't. But if you're allowed to do that all the time, holy cow. But keep it like it is. Make sure you want to go wherever you want to go. Great. Do it as a freshman. Start in high school there and stay. Otherwise, you got to sit out a year.
And I really feel like it will stay. I believe it'll stay that way. But, you know, as we've talked about at length for the last 6 months, the LHSA has gone a long way toward making sure that the legislature is not running them, is making sure that the power is still in the principal's hands. So I think that'll be another part of it. I think that they'll do everything they can to keep the rules the way it is, as a part of making sure that the legislature doesn't have control of the LHSA.
And I think one of the aspects a lot of people may not know about, the LHSAA says you can go wherever you want as a freshman, but it's up
right.
to the principal of that school to say it's okay. So the school still has final say according to the rules.
Right, yeah, and that's the way it is in any transfer. I think you can still do a transfer, but the school that you're transferring from, if they don't sign off on it, I think that there's a lot more hoops that you have to jump through. So, yeah, you're right.
All right, so, you know, we've got our in-studio guest, Warren Guerrero. Warren, your thoughts on this, you know, LHSAA and the school saying, okay, if you want to move schools, do it as a freshman. Okay, or wait, and if you do it after your freshman year, sit out.
I agree with you. I think it should be as a freshman, because you can't, if you have kids leaving after their freshman year, it's going to be total chaos, like you said.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that anybody would think about that. And of course, leave it up to the legislature to have that, to create chaos, you know, so to speak. It blows my mind. What else do we need to be keeping an eye on with the LHSAA?
You know, their relationship with the legislature, that's the biggest issue. And, of course, you know, they're going to be voting here in the special session next month on the proposal, the new split proposal, what they're calling a hybrid playoff scenario that we've talked about in the past, where 4A and 5A would come back together in the playoffs, but the all of the classifications would be split among rural and metro in the playoffs. So that of course is the big talking point right now. What will happen there? And from what I'm understanding, I don't think that plan has a huge, especially as it's currently written, because they can do amendments when they get down there. As it's currently written, I don't think that plan has much of a chance to pass.
Well, you know, again, it sounds like somebody from the legislature helped them write all that, because, I mean, that's just ridiculous. It needs to be the same in all. And they, Warren, I've said many times on this that we need to go back to the way it was. If you're a private school that's a 1A size and you want to play 5A, play 5A, take your whipping or give it, and
that's
other
right.
schools need to do better.
Totally agree.
You know, all this select, non-select, we don't need 35 state champions.
No, you're right.
You know, for five classes.
It's bad.
It's ridiculous. It's chaotic. It's political.
Very political. That's a key word.
You know, so I don't know. Cody, appreciate your time again today. Remind everybody how to keep up with you.
You can follow me on Twitter at CFUTRL, capital TNS. Also, all of our articles, updates at thenewstar.com. You can, you know, right now we're got a special on our digital and print subscriptions, so go to the website for more information on that. Brett Hudson will be down in Sulphur today, so you can follow him on Twitter for all of the latest updates on the championship games. B. Hudson TNS there on Twitter.
Absolutely. Good pitch man there, Cody. Appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll talk to you again next week, talk to you about the new state champions.
Have a good one, guys. Thanks.
Take care, Cody.
All right, so Warren.
Yes, sir.
A lot of what I consider things to be ridiculous, you know, going on. LHSAA is starting to look like the NCAA.
Yes, it is.
Politics is ridiculous. I don't know what to think sometimes.
It's been rampant for years.
Well, but you played high school ball and finished what year?
83.
Long time ago. And, of course, typically as a student and as a player, you don't know about all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But since then, what's your furthest memory of going back to where things were getting ridiculous?
I don't really remember the year, but, I mean, mid-90s.
Okay.
You know. You can take this a long way, in fact, the recruiting rules and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, now, everybody recruits.
Exactly. I was about to say, would you agree with me to say that everybody recruits,
no
just
doubt.
Some people are just
no
better
doubt.
At it?
No doubt. That's right.
Some people have more to offer, that
yes,
kind of stuff. You know, again, people think I'm a hater when I start talking about that kind of stuff. You know, but I've been around it for too
That's
long.
Right.
You've been around it for too long. Everybody's trying to get somebody.
Everybody's trying to get a better player.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter where they live. You know, hey, look, how can we get, you know, guy who lives in another school district to our school? What do we got to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all doing it.
They are.
And the thing that drives me crazy is not that they do it, but that they act innocent and talk about other people doing it.
Well, the problem is the Cam Robinson thing. I don't care if he went to West Monroe, but it got swept under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
But if other kids do it, it's out in the open. You know, it's why'd that get swept under the rug? Why wasn't it addressed?
Exactly. Yeah. I know. It's we could have separate shows on all of this, but let's just quit being political. Now, again, I know everybody can't come out and say, yes, we're recruiting, we're trying to get so-and-so from over there. You can't do that.
No.
But just know that everybody's doing it. Your school's doing it too, guys. Just some people are better at it because they have more to offer.
No doubt.
Evangel, that was the big deal. I mean, they got kids from out of state living in dorms.
Well, my gosh, that spawned off Calvary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's two different schools doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Evangel was better at it.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. If your school's not as good at it, see what you can do to help.
Yeah.
You know, right. Well, you know, or whatever, but everybody's doing it, guys. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Warren. And we'll talk to Sean Williams from ProFootballSpot.com. We're going to take a break, though. We are presented by DBAT of Monroe. DBAT for all your baseball and softball training needs. DBATMonroe.com. Welcome back to the program. One of my all-time favorite groups, Van Halen. Van Hagar there for a while, but Van Halen again. Of course, now, Warren, I think that Eddie's got his son, Wolfie, playing with him, so nice family affair there.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, you know his ex-wife, Valerie Bertinelli, you know where they kind of met.
Enlighten me.
Shreveport.
Really?
She was living here for a while.
I have no idea.
Yeah, and I've read the story, I've heard the story for years and years, but of course, now that I'm on the air, I can't remember it, but Van Halen, one of my favorite bands growing up, you know, I'm only a couple of years older than you, so, you know, we grew up listening to music in the late 60s and all through the 70s and the 80s, and, you know, I had older brothers and sisters. Of course, you have like 75 older brothers and sisters, something like
Actually,
that.
There's one older brother and 5 under me.
Okay, so you got, there's 8 of y'all, right?
8, yeah, 6 under me, yeah.
Yeah, so 8 of y'all, and wow, 8 is enough.
And 20,
that ought to be a TV
25
show.
Grandkids, yeah, it was, wasn't it?
All right, well, so you heard a little bit about what we were talking about. We expressed our opinions. I'm the one that says, hey, look, the NFL, these guys are making millions of dollars, they're pros, mm-hmm. it's 11 on 11, line up and play football. If my center wants to go out for a pass, I shouldn't have to tell the referee that he's eligible. You should have to guard him. Steve Spurrier, it's not my job to be your defensive coordinator.
My job to score. That's right.
That's right. My job is to go down, march down the field and score, and it's your job to stop me. Mm-hmm. And that should be no matter what I want to do. That's what I love about Canadian football, even though I don't watch it all that much.
Yeah.
You got those receivers on a dead run toward the line of scrimmage at the snap. Now, they can't be across the line of scrimmage, of course.
Yeah.
But as a defensive back, you're sitting there saying, oh, crap, this guy's coming at me as fast. I got to figure out what to do when the ball snaps because he's already moving.
Yeah.
There's no chucking at the line.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Having not played football but 1 year.
Yeah.
They put me at backup quarterback and didn't like that at all.
You kept backing up.
So. I didn't like that at all. But just I watch pro football all the time, but I'm not at all versed on the rules and all that kind of stuff.
Right. But, just don't you agree that it should be, hey.
Somewhat, yeah.
Line up and go.
Yeah.
Speaking of football, we've got our buddy Sean Williams on the line. Sean, welcome to the program on the Car King Hotline.
Good afternoon, Byron. How are you today, brother?
I'm doing good. Warren Guerrero's in the studio with me. Not Jeff Guerrero, but Warren Guerrero. Jeff is a cousin.
Yes, he is.
He is a cousin. Jeff's doing real well. He's got a couple of our tech guys in his stable, but Warren Guerrero is here with us, so. You and I have talked about this before, Sean, but the rules. And in every show, I get frustrated and fired up when we start talking about the LHSAA, which leads me to the NCAA, which leads me to the NFL. Too many restrictions. Line up and play football.
Yeah, usually that conversation leads to that one big vein right between your eyebrows throbbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
So tell me, Sean, of ProFootballSpot.com and – Houdat Nation Redemption. Tell me where the Saints are with signing some of their draftees.
Well, of all the draft class this year, all of them are signed except for David Onyemata.
Okay. And
excuse me.
Tell us about the other guys, okay? The first round pick,
Rankins.
Rankins.
Sheldon Rankins.
Sheldon Rankins. What did he get? I know that it's typical now. They're pretty much all the same for rookie contracts, thank goodness. But first-rounders, I know they can differ with years and options and stuff like that. So tell us what Sheldon got.
Okay, he signed what they usually refer to as a typical rookie deal, which means it's generally a four-year contract with a four-year contract with a fifth-year option that the club can pick up if they choose to, which we just did this year with Vaccaro.
Okay.
And his overall worth of the contract is $12.8
million.
He starts off in this year, his hit against the cap will be $2.3 million, and his base salary will be $450,000, fully guaranteed, and a signing bonus of $1,877,572.
that's not a bad 30 minutes work right there.
No, it's not. I mean, just to sign your name for $1.8 million, I think I could dig that job.
Yeah, I could probably sign my name twice, maybe three times.
I could write it neatly for that.
So what about Von Bell? Where do we stand with him? I know we got him signed.
Yeah, he got the same four-year deal with a fifth-year option, but his is $3.972 million.
Total.
Yeah, that's the total.
All right, and then Thompson?
Thomas,
I'm sorry, the wide receiver, yeah.
the same four-year fifth option and $5.11 million.
Okay, $5 million, a little bit more than the other second-round pick, Bell. Okay, so what's the deal with Onyemata?
To be honest with you, I haven't really heard anything as far as negotiations are going. The only thing that I've heard since the draft on Onyemata is the fact that he, I believe this week, he was drafted again by the Canadian Football League.
Well, let's hopefully he's not going to try to use that as leverage. So
hopefully
he's smarter than that.
Strictly my opinion, I would hope that he's smarter than that. I don't think that would give him a whole lot of leverage.
You know, if what's his name? Golly, this is horrible. The Ole Miss guy.
Tunsil.
Maybe he can hope to get drafted and use that as some leverage because he doesn't have any leverage at all.
No, he's
on draft night.
He appears to be getting even deeper as we speak, too.
So what have you heard on that?
All the night of the draft, there was some question as to the validity, especially the messages regarding him getting money from the university. And I've read something this week that said that all those reports turned out to be valid. So
I did hear that the Ole Miss Sports Information Office put out a message that they checked, and the message that came from his phone, you know, of course, that's how they said it. The message that came from his phone was authentic. Which means the message, not the words on the phone, but the message itself, yes, it was authentic.
Yeah.
He did get money. So, you know, I think that's all on him. What was the other guy that signed? I think it was in the same class that when he signed, he posted a picture of him with a big stack of money. When he signed with Ole Miss. When he signed with Ole Miss back 4 years ago.
Was it Kandichi?
Kandichi.
Receiver, I
think.
The wide receiver guy.
Must have been the receiver. So we're sitting here saying I don't know, so let's move on. Because it just makes me crazy when I can't remember things. And that's happening way too often lately, so I need to.
It's not sometimers, it's Alzheimer's.
That's right. Okay. So what about the other tech? Have you heard anything about the other tech draftees? What about Kenneth Dixon? What about Driscoll? Have you heard anything about
them? To my knowledge, Vernon Butler has yet to sign his deal. I wasn't able to find any information on him. But
yeah,
now
I don't have any details, but he did sign. I know he did sign, so I don't have any details.
Okay. I wasn't able to find anything on his deal. Now, Dixon signed a four-year deal worth $2.723 million with Baltimore.
How many years?
4 years.
4 years, $7 million. That's pretty good.
$2.7 million.
Oh, I thought you said 7. Oh, see? I'm dyslexic now also.
It's bad Vernon when you Butler's can hear signed, dyslexic.
Vernon Butler's contract, $8.4 million.
Okay.
Four-year deal.
Okay, well, that sounds about right then.
Yeah, so Driscoll, he's the 30th player picked, and instead of $12 million, he got $8 million. So I could live with that.
Yeah, I could live off that for a while.
We all could.
Driscoll signed.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, I apologize.
No,
Driscoll signed basically, give or take a little bit of here and there. Basically the same size deal as Dixon. His is there. Well, as a matter of fact, they have the exact same base pay for all 4 years.
Right.
So I didn't catch the overall worth of the contract on Driscoll. But it's basically the same as what Dixon signed.
Right. Well, Sean, you know, you remember. Over the past few weeks, we've talked about Cleveland, how it's one of my interesting stories, how they traded down from the 2 pick to the 8 and then traded down again from there. And they've tried to help out their team. They've been a losing franchise. They've been almost a laughing stock, except when they beat the Saints. And it just was interesting to me how much they were doing right now.
Sure.
We also, when we had, was it Jack or was it Luke?
Yeah, it was Jack. Jack.
We talked about Ernest Biner and the fumble and all that and the drive with Elway. I just happened to see today that there's going to be a 30 for 30. It's called the Believers. Believeland, I'm sorry, Believeland.
Believeland, yeah.
Ernest Biner sat down and talked with the guys on ESPN, and it's going to be part of a 30 for 30. And he talked about, and he just, it was kind of, just came out, you know, how he apologized for that play. And he says, I messed it up for everybody. They went on to talk about it, and he talked about how it affected him. I felt like, quoting from the article on ESPN, says, I felt like I did let a lot of people down. And so he was there for a day-long series of interviews in advance of the film's debut that comes on Saturday.
I would love to see that.
At 8:30. Comes on ET. No, I'm sorry. Boy, this is not a good day. Doesn't come on ET. It comes on at 9:30 Eastern time. That would be what the ET stands for. But it shows.
Take a step back and take a deep breath, brother.
ESPN. Yeah. It shows a picture of Biner being consoled by tight end Brian Brennan. You know, just how it affected him, and you know, the it talks about how the receiver Slaughter. Slaughter's he didn't run a deep enough route, so the DB covering him came up, was able to come up and pop Biner right at the line of scrimmage, and the ball popped out and into his hand.
Wow.
Webster Slaughter, quoting here, receiver Webster Slaughter did not run a corner route deep enough, which brought cornerback Jeremiah Castile into the play. Castile dove toward Biner as he approached the goal line, and the ball fell out of Biner's hand and into Castile's. You know, Biner went on to win a Super Bowl with the Redskins, then came back and played two more years with Cleveland, but he was never the same player. He says he played as hard, and he played at a high level, but he was never the same player because of that fumble. It just affected the way he played. But, you know,
that's got to be something that's difficult to manage. I can't imagine.
But I'm going to tell you, this coming out right now, just after the draft that they had and just, you know, them signing, again, not that RG3 is this big savior at quarterback, but he's a more than capable quarterback.
Yes, indeed. Way more than Manziel.
Yes.
You got to look at it like you just said. You're going from Manziel, so anything you do practically is going to be an improvement. So
that's so true.
Well, they've got like five quarterbacks on the roster right now. But RG3 is more than capable. You know, I don't think he's a superstar like he thought he was, but I think he's much more than capable of leading a team, especially if you put enough around him. And I think Cleveland put a lot around him. You know, they already had a decent
defense. They really did. You're going to I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say they've put enough around him, I think, for them to start being successful. You combine that, I think people are excited about the draft. This show comes out, gets people fired up again. I think especially starting out, more so than usual, you're going to see a lot of enthusiasm in Cleveland.
Well, sure. Every year it seems like at the beginning of the season, when everything is even, there's a lot of excitement, and the excitement either builds or wanes depending on how successful their season goes.
Exactly. But, you know, Cleveland can talk about the fumble. They can talk about the shot with Jordan over Elo. They can talk about the World Series that the Indians lost. so, you know, they can – and, again, but we all can. We all can.
Sure.
You know, but for the as many years as it's been for Cleveland, you know, just like with the Cubs, just like it was with the Red Sox –
well, that's one
more.
Thing that I tried so hard to explain to my friends who weren't Saints fans when the Saints won the Super Bowl. All those years of the paper bags in the Superdome and stuff like that getting demolished by the lower echelon of teams in the league, having to go through all of that and survive all of that just made that Super Bowl mean that much more.
Yeah, I mean, just not winning one at any time made it huge for me because I've been a Saints fan since '69.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I just, for some reason, and I can't really put my finger on it, I want to watch Cleveland this year. I'm not going to root for them, you know. I mean, they're not going to be my favorite team or anything. I'm not going to become a Cleveland Browns fan, but I'm really, really interested in seeing what happens with the Browns this year. I just think they've put themselves in a position to have something different happen.
By and large, most people you can divide up into two different groups. They're either a fan of a team or they're a fan of the game. and real true fans of the game sit back and every year say, well, maybe this is the year that Cleveland turns, well, never mind. And, you know, real fans of the game really would like to see Cleveland make a run of it.
Yeah. You know, it's like I know some people who are Saints fans, and if the Saints aren't playing, they're not watching football. And I'm watching football every game I can.
Exactly.
You know, because I'm a football fan. I'm a sports fan. I watch all sorts of stuff. But, you know, like I agree with that. If you're a fan, then you're interested in seeing what happens to Cleveland. You may be interested to see that they fall on their face and laugh at them, but you're interested to see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of times that I have to watch the games before or after the Saints game and pull for whatever benefits New Orleans.
Right. Right, absolutely. I mean, NFC South, there's only one team that can win a game.
That's right.
That's right. So, you know, and typically when we're watching a game, if it's an AFC team playing an NFC team, I'm wanting the AFC team to win, unless it's a team that I just hate. And I don't know if there's any AFC teams I really hate anymore. So,
the older I get, I find myself watching just hoping to see a good game. Well, that's with the exception of the Saints. That one's the same approach every time. But I watch to see a team play a really good ball game and to see the best athletes in the world and excuse me. And that's why I watch the games.
Absolutely. I love the competition. I love the spirit of how they get after it and all that kind of stuff. A lot of the stuff that I know about the coaching part, I'm not a coach, that's not what I'm saying, but having worked in athletics, you know, and you see some of the ins and outs on different levels, you know, you want to see what people are going to do. I couldn't care less that Belichick is not a good interview.
I couldn't either.
Whatever he says is, you know, either funny or stupid to me, so, I don't care. I know that people make a big deal out of him and Pop, you know, the Spurs losing, wheezing their way down the stretch there. But, you know, Pop evidently didn't have a good interview. I didn't stay up and watch it or anything, but people are saying that if, you know, an athlete did what he did, we'd be all over him and everything. But, you know, I don't care. Pop's earned a little bit more than your typical athlete.
Sure.
But, you know, the only reason it's a big deal is because the media's making a big deal out of it. Ask him a question.
Absolutely.
His response is print it and move on. But, well, Sean, I appreciate you coming on today with that information. Remind everyone, if you would, how to follow you.
On Twitter, Drew's Dad 3721. On Facebook at Houdat Nation Redemption. And online, profootballspot.com.
All right. Well, one day we're going to have you on here, and we'll discuss nothing but Houdat Nation Redemption and how it got started and what all happened from that. But for now, I appreciate you coming on today and giving us a little info, and we'll talk to you again.
Oh, it's always a pleasure hanging out with you, Byron. Thanks for
all right, bud. Bye-bye. Talk to you later. We're going to go ahead and take another break. We are presented by DBAT of Monroe, DBAT for all your baseball and softball training needs. DBATMonroe.com. This segment sponsored by Greg Phillips, State Farm Insurance. In Ruston, Greg Phillips is a good neighbor. We'll be back with more on Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm all right.
You know, I've said that many a time in my life. Why can't you just let it be? But people just don't want to let it be. But one thing we're not going to leave alone is West Monroe High School golf. And on the line with us now on the Car King Hotline to talk about a very good season for the West Monroe High School Rebels is Rebel coach Keith Pivato. Keith, coach, welcome back to the program.
Man, thank you for having me, Byron. I really appreciate it.
All right, no problem. So great job with everything this year. Finished second in state. Highest finish for the Rebels, I believe, in school history, right?
That's right. We had the best finish of any boys team, finished state runner-up, and had the lowest two-day aggregate score of 599 for any West River High School team. Beat that by one stroke, Clinton Shepherd and that bunch who went on to play at Tech, had a great four-year career at Tech. And they actually finished fifth that year. So, but we did have the lowest two-day score and finished state runner-up for made history.
Yeah, well, congratulations on that. You also had a couple of guys that finished pretty high, and they, you know, they have a chance to go on as well, correct?
That's right. You know, they have a what's called a Champions Tour, which will be a tour tournament, which will be a one-day tournament at down in Marksville at the Casino Golf Course, Tamaka Hills. And they take the top six boys and top six girls from each division. And we had two kids place, and Joey Kirkland was tied for third, and Michael McMahon finished sixth. So they both received invitations. It's a really great tournament, all-expense-paid deal, and I'm going to get to go watch them that Tuesday, and really excited for them and what they did and the reward that they're fixing to be given for their great play.
Well, absolutely. For Kirkland and McMahon, great seasons, great individual finishes. I know they contributed a lot to the team effort, and both of them good kids. And then, of course, Michael got an extra honor for received academic All-State honors.
That's right. He was named to the LHSA Composite Academic All-State Team. There were about 14 boys from around the state. This is a 4.0 for 4 years of high school. So, that's man, that's just the... Of all the great honors he's accumulated in golf, this is obviously the greatest honor right here, because he's a wonderful kid, and he's just matured nicely. He was the leader of our team. I mean, he's a great musician. He's an all-state choir performer, and you know, to see that award given to him was quite an honor. And it meant a lot, you know, with Mom and Dad. And, you know, we were able to get some pictures of them and send them some pictures. And they obviously are very excited.
Yeah, I've got a picture on my Facebook page of the New Star article, the picture of the three of them, Mom, Dad, and Michael at in front of the Calvert sign. So, yeah, I went to Tech with Steve and Joy.
Okay.
We were in the same organization. I played intramural basketball with Steve, and earlier when I was on the line with Cody Futrell from the New Star, and we were talking about it, I say I like to take a little credit for Michael's upbringing, because his parents, having known me in college, knew how they did not want their child to be.
So they knew
to raise him opposite of what they knew of me. So turned out really well for him there, but. But yes, good kid. His younger brothers are in choir with my youngest daughter.
Okay.
So they'll be coming up. I'm sure you'll have them on the golf course as well. So.
Oh yeah,
go ahead.
They're playing in a tournament today. Actually, they have a USSSA tournament at Calvert, a 2-day tournament, and in their age division, they're playing. And I probably have six or seven other guys playing in a tournament today.
Well, my son actually started working out there today at Calvert. Thanks to our neighbors, good kids who learned of an opportunity and came knocking on our door to tell their buddy Slade. And so he'll be out there. I think he'll be washing off golf carts or something. So, but he'll be out there working at Calvert, so he'll get to see some of that stuff. But what does it mean to you, having known these kids for 4 years, and you got them passed, you got them coming up, and you've got the ones that are in your program now, and it culminates in a year like this where the best ever finish for the school, and then you got several great kids. You know, I don't want to just single out Michael, but Michael did receive a special honor. You know, and all of this, you get to witness the growth of these kids to culminate in a season like this for the entire team, and then you see this individual honor for Michael who you know has put in the work.
Right. Well, you know, the greatest honor that we have in coaching is not winning or losing. It's watching these kids develop from young guys into mature young men. You know, my whole team, you know, Michael and Joey Kirkland, Joel Boyette, Jack North, Peyton Underwood, Jed Counts, and several other kids, you know, they just, to see them grow up and be young men is the greatest reward any coach can have. I tell their parents that the privilege that I have is being around them. I get to see them laugh and smile and be themselves. and to talk to them. You know, I have kids that I can talk to like an adult. I mean, they're very mature boys. They're fun to be around. They love each other. They care about one another. That's the reward that we have as a coach, to invest a small, because I tell them this is just a small, small, small window of their life. And just to see them grow up, and they're going to go on. I tell them all the time, you know, the greatest thing you can be is be a good husband, be a good father, be a good dad, you know, be a good whatever you choose to become in your career. And they're well on their way to accomplishing that.
Coach, Warren Guerrero here. How you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Warren? Nice I'm to great. See you.
Coach, that was a great point. I mean, I like hearing that because so many people are guided down the wrong path. And I mean, that's awesome advice for those kids because a lot of people don't hear that before they get to be 19 or 20, you know?
That's right. And that's great what it's all about, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Our job is not winning and losing games. I know
that.
Some people think it is. Our job is to help mold these guys and help them on their path to becoming good citizens and good men.
That's awesome, Coach. Mm.
You know, and all joking aside, you know, me with my joke about taking credit being the opposite role model, but I did know Steve and Joy in college, and I was friends with them, and they're doing a great job. So kudos to them and the other parents who are raising great kids out there, you know, especially the ones that you're associated with, because it, you know, when you're doing everything else right, the result is usually productivity on the field of play.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You're exactly right.
All right, well, Coach, I'm representing today. I've got my West Monroe golf hat on. Appreciate
that.
So I'm representing, and we're just so proud of all the boys and the team. And you guys deserve it. Go down there and go watch the rest of your kids today, and go down there and enjoy seeing the two play in the Champions Tour tournament.
I will. That's going to be a thrill to see them play in that.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, thanks for coming on again on short notice, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thank you. Y'all have a good day. Bye, Warren. Y'all have a good one.
Take care, bud.
All right. Bye.
We're going to go ahead and take another break. We're going to get to our next guest a little bit early, but we'll take a break right now. Join us. Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed, at T-Sports 977 FM, 888-993-7762. That's the Car King hotline and the Pulpwood Producers text line. The Riverport Creative Group email inbox is tsports977fm@gmail.com. We'll be back with more on Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program, Talkin' Sports, here on ESPN 97.7 FM. It's just you and me, and I'm B, Byron Avery, your host. Here on ESPN 97.7, we have a lot to be thankful for, Warren.
No doubt, but
you know, we were just talking off air about Coach Pivato and those kids and the perspective and all of that. So, but getting back on track here, it's time for our weekly segment of What's Up, where we go back and talk to someone from the area who went to high school here and has done something athletically past that, and now they're back in the community. But we have this little segment every week, and we like to call it What's Up.
Like
that. What's happening, hot stuff?
Weather!
What's up, Jack?
So, Mr. Warren Guerrero.
That is funny.
Been in studio with us today. I do have to let everyone know that we are getting off the air early. Tech Baseball will be on the air at 1:45, so we'll end the show around right at 1:30. So we've got about 15, 16 minutes here, but we're going to talk to you and find out what's up with you, because you were you played at St. Frederick's,
right?
Graduated in 1983.
83, long time ago.
And things at that point didn't look like they were going to be the way they turned out. So tell us about your senior year at St. Fred's.
Well, back then, let me back up to my junior year. We won state as my junior year, we won state championship, had four starters coming back, and weren't expected to do a whole lot. We got back to the semifinals. I'm going to tell you a funny story. It's not a bragging story. It's a funny story. We played Beerus, which is down there about 5 miles from where Hurricane Katrina came in, and one restaurant, and they had this big pitcher that's committed to Tulane, and so we're in this restaurant eating. He comes up to me and goes, "Hey, rag arm," just started, you know, like everybody does, you know.
Right.
So we go out there, and long story short, I throw no hitter, strike out 16, hit a home run off the guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I say that to tell you this: he's got a scholarship. I had no looks, you know. Nobody's talking to me about scholarships because it wasn't as prevalent back then, you know.
People weren't hound dogging you and all this kind
of
stuff.
You know, in the summertime, there weren't these places to go to Connecticut and these different places to go play in these leagues. So we had a semi-pro league. Wasn't nothing pro about it, but Tech had a team. You know, you had a team.
This is after your senior year.
Yeah, after my senior year.
How did y'all do your senior year?
We got back to state finals.
State finals.
We beat that team I just told you about. And then our coach, who's a great friend of mine, was kind of excited. And they called him about playing the game. This is Saturday night we played that team. He said, "We'll play you Tuesday." Well, that's 2 days rest. Well, I was going to pitch again, so it didn't work out too well. You know, we got beat, I think, 7-5, I think.
And that coach was who?
Warren Kemp, Coach Kemp. Great guy. He was at West Warsaw for a while, now he's back at Baton Rouge, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, retired.
So after your senior year, you were playing summer league.
Semi-pro ball. You had Tech, ULM, Northeast, and there was four other teams. And I pitched against all those guys growing up, you know. But what started my journey was we played Bastrop, who had four guys on their team that were playing college ball at the time. And the first two guys got doubles. Well, I struck out 24 that night, 9-inning games, 24 strikeouts.
27 outs in a game, you struck out 24.
And back then, the newspaper printed articles about that stuff. So Coach Johnson, Wayne Johnson, was my junior year coach. He said he's going to try to talk to Hines Community College about getting me a chance to play.
So Wayne Johnson, who is right now at Mangum?
Mangum, yep.
But he was your coach your junior year?
Coach freshman, sophomore, junior year, then he left to go somewhere else.
Okay, so he was the one that you won the state championship with.
Yes.
He's at that game where you strike out 24, and he comes up to you afterwards, starts talking to you.
He said, "We got to do something about this, you know, because I don't know. Who knows why I didn't get it? I think God had a plan for me to go where I went, you know. So I go try out at Hines, and it goes well. Of course, you know, there's no scholarships there. So my poor mother had to work her behind off doing Pell Grant, student loans, getting all that stuff put together.
Uh-huh.
And so I finally got enrolled. And let's just say I wasn't very welcomed. You know, Hines had every starter back from their runner-up team the year before.
And one of them was somebody most of us will know.
Who? Pat Rapp?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pat Rapp.
Pat Rapp.
I'll tell you that story, too. You know, we start our fall practice, and it's like I've got the plague. I mean, they won't talk to me, you know. So I'm pitching against Pat Rapp in that game. It's nothing through six innings, you know. And they're hollering and stuff. And, you know, so we go on back to dorms. Every night I go in the room and hang out. "You're not welcome. You can't come. Get out of here," you know, just kind of shooing me away. So I just kind of stayed back and see what happened. So what kind of broke it, we played Utica Junior College, which had six guys signed with the pros that year. So I go in there and throw a two-hitter and strike out 13 or 14. And at that point, the guys kind of started accepting me a little bit.
Well, so Pat Rapp, let's go ahead and back up there for a second. Pat Rapp is on that roster. He's a starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Pitched about 10 years in the major leagues. I'm looking up.
I think 9 or 10, maybe.
Yeah, 1993 was his rookie season, actually.
Yeah.
So he pitched his last game in October of 2001.
Yeah.
So Spent a little while in the major leagues, and I remember him. You know, he was a good pitcher. He was a starting pitcher. So he's out there, and he's on the roster. He's a starting pitcher for Hines when you get there.
He's the number one pitcher, and I end up being number two. So we get the state championship game against Mississippi Delta, who was loaded. Kevin Rogers was their pitcher, who played 7 or 8 years in the major leagues. Well, Pat throws the first game, and Hines didn't have lights at that time. So after seven innings, it's nothing. I mean, it's 8-8, kind of a hitter's game. I come in and throw the 9th, 10th, 11th, and it gets dark.
So you have to call the game.
Call the game. Come back tomorrow.
What's the score after?
It's still 8-8.
Okay.
I throw the 12th, 13th, and we win it in the 13th inning. Okay? He says, "Stay loose." So 20 minutes later, we start the second game. I throw the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. and we're up 3-0, and darkness starts over. So the next day we came back and won the championship. I just couldn't throw again.
Yeah. So you pitch on one day, you pitch the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th, come back the next day, pitch 12th and 13th, and then start game two and pitch the first six innings.
Yeah, 16th, yeah.
Yeah. So that probably wouldn't happen in today's
game. No, not at all.
Now, did you feel overused or anything?
Not really, because I always had an arm where I could throw a lot. You know, I've been blessed. I never had arm trouble.
Well, that is a blessing, I can tell you that. So, Hines, you did pretty well there, but that's not the end of the story.
No. Delta State started recruiting me after that, and so I went up there and met with Coach Ferris, and he signed me to a scholarship, and then he retires. So we get Coach Bill Marchant, who now is one of my dear friends, but, boy, we were like oil and water. I mean, he just was a different kind of coach, just, you know, real hard-nosed, and I didn't grow up hard-nosed, you know.
Right.
And so he was just right. All of us, not just me, all of us, rise all the time, you know. So we just, it was a love-hate relationship there. So first year I would go 6-3, I think. And we get the conference championship game, and I faced Ty Jones, that played 10 or 12 years in Major League.
Closer.
Yeah, and I lost that game 3-1 on a ball hit under the fence, but that's another story. But senior year, I come back, and he asked me to be the closer. So I did that, and I think I went 11-4, 11-5 with like 6 or 7 saves. Only guy on the team could throw all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that did kind of take a wear and tear on my arm a little bit.
All right, so now we've got 2 years at Hines, 2 years at Delta, and so then things come to a close.
Well, here's why. After high school, I left this part. I started going to NLU back then, but one semester.
Just wasn't ready.
I wanted to play ball. I didn't like it, you know. Mm-hmm. So once that happens, you're 10 semesters to play 8, start. So my fall of my senior year at Delta State, I had to sit out. And then had the spring, I played that ball. But scouts, I had 15 or 20 come talk to me at Hines. How old are you? 21. Oh. And I understand. They just wouldn't, in their mind, they need somebody that's not 18, 19, or 20. Mm-hmm. You know. So I believe I could have done something. I'm not sure go pro, but I think I played further than I did.
Yeah. So you played 2 years at Hines, 2 years at Delta. Mm-hmm. After that, you come back.
Yeah.
Now, again, we talked about you having a large family.
Yes.
Most of you guys were involved in sports, and one of them still is today. Even though I know you were, we'll get into that, but your brother, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Paul coaches.
At Neville. He was at St. Fred's for about 12 or 13 years, athletic director, football coach, baseball. Done a great job. Great coach, too. I'm not being biased. You're just watching him. He's so technique driven. He's just every I is dotted, T is crossed. I mean, he doesn't leave anything left. I mean, anything to the open mind, he fixes it where it should be.
Yeah. So he's at Neville now. He's the head baseball coach at Neville. They had a good run this year, but I coached his son in T-ball.
Cullen. Yeah.
Exactly. And coached him for 1 year. And Paul's probably the parent I most appreciated. Because what I know about baseball, you know, he could fit on his little fingernail.
Yeah.
But he would come to games or in practices or whatever and never said a word.
Yeah.
Never said a word. Other parents would chirp and all this kind of stuff. You know, that's the one thing I couldn't stand about coaching was the parents.
Oh, yeah.
But Paul never said a word because he knew I couldn't screw his kid up too much. You know, just in T-ball. But I like Paul for that. You know, there's lots of other reasons to like him. But you've got – you know, all your brothers, aren't they still in the area?
Not all of them. I have two brothers in South Carolina.
Okay. All right. But you came back.
Yeah.
And you stayed involved with baseball for
quite
a while. Yeah,
started the baseball academy, Pitcher Perfect, did it for like 5 or 6 years and worked with probably 200 kids in the area. And it's funny, I watched Oak Grove play Neville about 3 weeks ago in a game before the playoffs, and three of the starters were kids I worked with, and they were like 9 or 10 years old. So that's kind of neat to look back and have them come to you and tell you thank you, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. So you still work with kids?
A few, not a whole lot. I have one or two kids here and there, but it's not like I'm advertising that.
Right. But you know, you're not advertising it, but we will say that if anybody wants a little pitching tip, they can get in touch with Warren, and he can maybe help you out a little bit. But what's the one thing you take away from that journey? You know, because, again, it didn't look like it was going anywhere.
Exactly.
Wayne Johnson, who we both know and love.
Yeah.
Yeah, great guy, great coach. Mm-hmm. he did something for you and kind of motivated you.
No doubt.
What do you take away from that journey?
Perseverance. I mean, a lot of times, you know, in today's society, people give up too soon. I mean, if some of these people that would have been millionaires if they just took one more step, you know, or gotten the job if they took one more step, I persevered. You just kept fighting for it. And my mom and dad are a lot of the reason why, you know, they just encouraged me to do that, you know. And it was, you know, my dad and I laugh about it now, you know. Back then, he would send me $30 a week. That's all we could do. We had eight kids, you know. But that $30 meant more to me than he'll ever know, you know. Just being able to, just the sacrifice they made. Pretty cool.
And then, so now we come back full circle. Within the last year or so, Heinz got back in touch with you about something.
Oh, yeah. They called, that's in 2012, actually.
Okay.
They called and told me I was being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And that just blew me away, because that's not something you aspire for when you're playing ball, but it just, it's an honor that I'll cherish forever, you know.
So you go to, you know, again, didn't look like you were going to be playing college ball at all. You go to Heinz, have 2 good years there. Going to play at Delta, and then 4 years ago, Heinz Community College gives you a call back, and guess what? You're being inducted into their Hall of Fame. How was that?
It was awesome. It was, I mean, I forget the names, but two of the guys that were inducted with me, one of them played with the Raiders for 10 years, and one of them played with some other pro team for 10 years. It was high company I was in, you know.
Absolutely. Made you feel pretty good.
Oh, yeah,
good.
No doubt. It's
great
awesome.
Memories, I'm sure, flooded back.
And I've got a great relationship with Coach Temple now. I've sent some kids over there, the Washam kids, you know. Mm-hmm. They're now at Tech. And Heinz sent 6 kids to Tech this year.
Yeah, I know they've got a big Heinz connection over there. Yeah. And Coach Goff used to coach at Delta State.
Sure did. And he was 4 years behind me. I've met him. I mean, I've talked to him, not face-to-face, but through other people, yeah.
Okay. All right, so big connection there. And Warren, you've come back. You've worked in the community. You've got kids in the community going to school, so... appreciate your time coming on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Hopefully we'll have you back. But Warren Guerrero, St. Frederick High grad, played at Heinz Community College and at Delta State University, inducted in 2012 into the Heinz Community College Hall of Fame. And for Warren and us, for this segment, that's What's Up. So let us know, again, who you want to hear from. We have this segment every week at 1:15. Let us know. Shout out to us on the Car King hotline or the Pulpwood Producers text line, 888-993-7762. The Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed, at tsports977fm. You can shoot us an email. Riverport Creative Group email inbox is tsports977fm@gmail.com. Or contact me on the Facebook page. The Assurance Financial Facebook page is facebook.com/talkingsports977fm. Remember, that's Talking Sports, not Talking Sports. No G. But for Warren Guerrero here in the studio, I want to thank all our guests, our sponsors. Jeremy Hilton, Shield to Shelter Insurance in West Monroe, sponsored this segment. We've had Greg Phillips, State Farm Insurance, Gina Eubanks, Allstate Insurance, DBAT of Monroe, Riverport Creative Group, sponsored this hour. I want to thank John Tabor back in the studio. Couldn't make it happen without him. But just tune in next week. We're going to take a hiatus now, which makes no sense. I know I'm just, for some reason, words aren't coming to me today. But we're getting off the show early. Listen to Tech Baseball. I know they had a big win last night. Big catch in left field to end the game. Tech wins 7-5 over Southern Miss. This is probably the biggest series of the season for them. They did qualify last night, qualified to a sure spot in the conference tournament. So we'll be looking forward to that as well. But for all of us here, I want to say thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. You've been listening to Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the best of Talkin' Sports with Byron. To listen to the show live, tune in every Saturday to ESPN977.com. Or subscribe to the show in iTunes, on Stitcher, or at RedPeachSports.com.